But translate to famous favorite concerts.
So, again, I mean, Gwar is fun for concerts.
Gwar is very fun.
If I said it well, okay.
It's okay to have more than one favorite concert.
Yeah, and I have a few. Favorite concerts. I'm just reflecting on that. It's like, because my first concert was Black Sabbath Mob Rules.
Yeah. Ooh.
Right? That was my first one.
With the best singer in Black Sabbath ever.
Yeah.
Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, I agree. Dio and Sabbath was great, man. It sounded a lot like Dio.
Yeah.
So, and I'm a Dio fan, so... to me, it was like...
I mean, I'm shocked that Dio sounds like Dio when he sings.
No, it's just that it doesn't sound like Black Sabbath.
But it does. It's so weird.
Yeah,
his influence on them was very bizarre. Because, you know, you had that plodding, heavy Black Sabbath that was
right.
Like in the 70s to the early 80s, just very, like... methodical, not fast in points,
right?
But kind of like doom metal-y, right?
Yeah, I get you.
Boom, boom, right?
Right.
And then Dio gets in there. He's so high energy and he's so outgoing. They're like, all right. Like they did Heaven and Hell and it has kind of the mix, right? But goddamn Mob Rules comes out and it's just like Neon Knights. Shit.
That's a great song,
that
man.
That song is so fucking fast.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was my first concert. So that one has a special place in my heart for being the best concert, right? But then you start looking at, you know, like as time goes on, your business needs change. And, you know, it's like I like to see, you know, I went through my glam metal phase, right?
Oh, yeah.
So when Kiss came out, you know, or Animalized or whatever. That was a good show. Those guys put on a visual, you know, the music's what it is, all right?
Yeah, terrible.
But we're talking about favorite concerts.
Yeah.
So when you have all these explosions and the fire and the lights and the cool stuff, Kiss is in there, and then Dio on his own was there. He did something with, you know, like he was backstage, and it was his face on this big screen and all these cool laser things, and he had a 7-story dragon that breathed fire. You know, it's like that was great to me. I love that. But then Yngwie Malmsteen put on a great show too.
Sure.
Yngwie opened up for Kiss, and it was like, that's a doubleheader, man. That was beautiful. You know, I saw Korn.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. It was a great show. It was just cool. Visually, I love the way, you know, the drums, his drum stand or his cymbal stands were. They were all, you know, modified, not just normal looking ones. And
sure.
But then I saw Rush. It's like every time I see a concert, it's the best concert I've ever seen. And so, I mean, Rush, I have to sit there and say what a musically precise, perfectly precise musical show, right?
Sure.
Visually wasn't stimulating as some of the previously mentioned ones, but it was a great fucking show. You couldn't watch that show and go, these guys suck. You couldn't say that. And if you did, you'd probably get your ass whooped.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, I don't know. So when you say favorite concerts, it just depends on the headspace you're in when you're, and the time that you're in and all of that. But I even saw Fastway back in the day. You remember them?
Yeah.
Fastway and Jay Giles.
Nice.
That, and Jay Giles was freaking loud. That was Angel in a Centerfold on 10. It's just kind of, you know, like, wow. But not one of my favorite concerts,
sure.
Right? But I saw Cinderella, Poison, and I think it was, I think it was the Bullet Boys and then Alice in Chains. Yeah, and then Alice in Chains. It was a four band show. But I don't think I even stayed for all of Cinderella. I'm like, I'm musically, I'm done. Well,
that's
out.
That's a mistake.
Why?
Cinderella's good, man.
Yeah. I think when you watch Bullet Boys, you watch Alice in Chains, you know... by the end of it, you're going from this kind of heroin chic kind of thing and into this I hate myself into the opposite of glam and I'm so beautiful and check me out. Oh, you know, it's just, I don't know. And it was when, I remember it's when the piano came down from the ceiling and Tom Kiefer sat down and started playing it. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Let's go ahead to the bar real quick and then we'll pick up chicks or something.
I'll be back. But for me, it's kind of a three-parter.
All right.
So I went to this, like, God, when I first started at my current job, I was the end of, it was in August, and me and my buddy were like, hey, let's go to this thing called Rockin' the Rivers. And it's
in Montana.
Yeah, it's an annual festival. And this year, it was headlined by Vince Neil and Buck Cherry.
Okay.
I was like, I'm in. Yeah. So, not really knowing what I signed up for, we go. And phenomenal concerts.
Yeah.
And day one, like 2 p.m. or something, they Steelheart plays. And they're like, hey, so they kind of preface it a little bit, but they're like, hey, we wrote the songs for this movie and we're not the band that played them, but we're going to play them today. And just play Blood Pollution and just crush.
That's what you were talking about earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like play the whole soundtrack. That was amazing. So I'm on this high, right?
Right.
I'm like, hell yeah. Right. And then Rat plays.
Oh, okay. I've seen Rat. Yeah.
But big but.
Uh-oh.
This isn't advertised. It's just the drummer.
Oh.
With a bunch of 15-year-old kids.
Oh, no.
And in fact, I'm talking to the bass player before the show, and he's like, yeah, I joined this band 4 hours ago. I just got off a plane.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, what? And then, so they end their set with Round, and everything's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's not bad.
Who sang? Just
some dude.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
Some guy. There was Steven. Apparently everybody else in Rat was pissed off at the drummer, like on the outs. So he got a bunch of people to come in and play, like from cover bands and
stuff. Right.
And so they play Round and Round, and the bass player chokes on the bass solo. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm screaming, right?
Right.
Like, you ruined this song for me.
Right.
Right. And this is like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So the day goes on, and Vince Neil's supposed to play. I'm like, God, I love Motley Crue. Okay, this will be great, right? Vince will probably come out and play some of the Crue songs that he wrote.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's cool. So getting ready, and me and my buddy are standing there, and this guy walks out with a very distinctive bass guitar, and I'm like, that's Dana Strum. And then the guitar player walks out, and I'm like, that's the guitar player from Slaughter.
Right? What?
Yeah. And then the drummer from Slaughter comes out.
Right.
I'm like, what in the fuck? I'm expecting Mark Slaughter to walk out. No, Vince Neil walks out. And they play Kickstart My Heart. And I'm like, okay. That's great.
This is cool.
Yeah. So we're jamming out, rocking. And then Vince Neil's like, leaves. Just leaves.
Just leaves. I'm done.
Just leaves.
All right.
Walks away to go do Vince Neil things. No one really knows what Vince Neil things are at his age, but probably has something to do with a sandwich.
Yeah, probably.
And Jeff Blandino, he's like just looking around, like not really understanding what happened. And he's like, okay. And he starts playing Heaven and Hell.
And really?
I'm like, okay, like this. And then he starts singing, and he sings just like fucking Dio.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, we just lost our minds, right? We're just like, what the fuck?
That is great, though. That'd be cool. Yeah.
And then he does Rainbow in the Dark and a bunch of other awesome covers. And then Vince Neil comes back out and closes the show.
That's weird.
Yeah, but I mean,
sorry, Neil, there's only so much in the budget, so we need you to sing these three songs.
It was like four songs. And Blandino, like, killed the rest of it. And, like, their drummer's crazy.
Wow.
He's like jumping off the drum risers and shit at the end of the show.
Like, dude.
Not the drum risers, but the stacks.
Oh, wow.
Climbs up on the stack and jumps off to do his solo. It's crazy.
I went to Rock in the River. It was a long time ago, but it was Queensryche without Jeff Tate. It was what's his name? She's only 17.
That'd be Kip Winger.
Yeah, there you go, Winger. And then Lita Ford played.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, at her age,
she's great.
She looks phenomenal.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. And who else played? But I can't remember who else. It was that long ago, but it was such a great time. And I got to go backstage and kind of meet some of the guys and hang out. No cool rock stories or anything. I think, you know, most of those people on that stage probably received their, you know, 5-year chip or whatever it was.
Sure.
And, you know, I just think they're all partied out, but it was cool. I mean, it was nice talking with people. I got to meet and hang out with Eddie Trunk. And he was a good guy, and I sat with him and his, you know, he had a camper or whatever they gave him, and it was fun. We got to play Stump the Trunk, him and I, just, you know, private edition.
It was probably really easy because he's an idiot.
No, it was tough because the guy is a walking freaking encyclopedia of metal. The guy knows so many things.
Yeah, his favorite band is Saxon, so he can go fuck himself.
Yeah, he likes Saxon, but there were some other bands that are more current than Saxon, and I dug way deep into their career and asked him some questions, and that guy was able to pull him out. And I'm like, okay, if you know that, you probably know my social security number. Nope. I mean, this guy, he just was really good at, like I said, he's like an encyclopedia of rock and roll.
Okay.
But I mean, he may That's like great. Saxon, and he may like, you know, whatever. But the guy,
Saxon's trash.
Yeah, I'm not a Saxon fan either. But
nobody should be. Suck.
But I think, you know, we had a good time for sure.
I'm glad you did.
He was a good host.
So yeah. Speaking of Lita Ford, I went to go see Joan Jett at the casino, and like, all right, Joan Jett, love me some Joan Jett. Well, her band wasn't there.
Okay.
And she's like, hey, so my band couldn't make it today, so I brought some friends. And Lita Ford walks out, and I'm like, holy shit. That's everybody from the Runaways, except for Sherry Curry.
Really?
Yeah, Joan Jett and Lita Ford sang all the songs. It was awesome.
Wow.
It was
killer. You know, I forgot to mention Ozzy. I've seen Ozzy.
Yeah, Ozzy's great.
And that, I think, was more wonderful just because it was just to get a glimpse of Ozzy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, in fact, Korn opened for Ozzy. That was the same show in Denver. I saw that. And you know who else? And I always forget this show. Nine Inch Nails.
Ooh.
I saw them in D.C. A buddy of mine hooked me up with some tickets to the show. I ended up being in D.C., went. Freaking great show. Those guys don't do meet and greets afterwards. So you don't, if you think you're going to meet them and greet them, you're not. You're just going to sit there in this room with 50 other sweaty people and, you know.
Good to know.
Yeah. They don't like to come out and talk to the crowd. Yeah. Which, if there was some fool like me out there, I wouldn't want to go either. So,
yeah.
But that was cool. That was a good show, too. We talked about concerts, but I often forget that one. I don't know why.
So, my favorite concert happened about 6 years ago this July. And I flew to Sweden because I snagged tickets to see the Mighty Black Sabbath on their final tour.
Oh, yeah. 13 album.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to go see Sabbath. $55, front row center.
Wow.
So I was like, dude, U.S. dollars to kroners? Bitching, right?
Right.
So that was a lot of kroners. But it was $55. Get my plane ticket. I'm out. Well,
oh,
I'm printing the ticket. Right?
Right.
Actually, hold up. So, no, that was wrong. I wanted to go see Volbeat.
Oh, it was Volbeat.
Yeah, but then I noticed it was opening for Black Sabbath.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway. So, I get there, not realizing what I'm getting myself into, and I got some buddies who are going to pick me up from the airport. It's a whole goddamn festival.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were calling it Monsters of Rock Sweden.
Nice.
So my buddy's like, hey, so we're going to go see Manowar. And I'm like, shut up.
Right.
So we go see Manowar. It was amazing, right? And then we go drinking.
Yeah.
Right? And then we go see another buddy's band play in the park. Guess who shows up? King Diamond. To sing Abigail with them.
Oh, my God. That was... Wow. I was just going to shout out Abigail. Abigail!
Yeah. So...
Wow.
So this is where it gets real weird, because we get to the next day and it's time to go see Volbeat and Sabbath, right?
Right.
Volbeat. Goddamn, People's Arena is packed, like sold out. Over 100,000 people, right?
Jeez.
On front row center, Volbeat comes out and plays and they destroy it, man. They play all their shit. Like they start out playing like Puddle of Booze, like some of the most like deepest cuts they have.
Right.
And they're playing some of their more contemporary popular songs. They do Sad Man's Tongue,
right,
which is like a tribute to Johnny Cash. You know, they kill like a couple hours. And I'm like, okay, cool. They're gone. Sabbath is going to come out and play. People are still chanting Volbeat.
Wow.
Right? The entire time Sabbath's setting up. The Mighty Black Sabbath comes out. Gets about through 3.5 songs. People are still chanting Volbeat.
Oh, my
God. Ozzy's kind of irritated.
Yeah.
So they're like, we'll bring him back out to play a song with us. Right? Okay, cool. They're going to play Sweet Leaf. Like, all right. Cool. Black Sabbath disappeared. So Volbeat played for another 3 hours.
You're kidding me.
No, just doing covers. It was killer.
Wow, dude, that is strange.
They blew Black Sabbath off the stage.
They did.
Legitimately blew Black Sabbath
off
the
stage. Oh my God, dude.
Yeah. So
that is really weird.
That is one of my favorite concerts, but and that was an amazing show.
Yeah.
Right? But Tide is, I'm in LA, House of Blues.
Okay.
Watching Steel Panther play, right?
Right. Okay,
normal.
Right.
Normal, nothing to see here.
Right.
Just Steel Panther, and then they see Chad Kroeger.
Oh.
And Vinnie Paul.
They just happened to be there.
Well, yeah, they were there like everybody else to watch a goddamn show.
Right.
But they see them, and they start making fun of Chad Kroeger and Vinnie Paul and get them to come down the stage.
Right.
And Chad Kroeger's really drunk.
Oh, no.
And they're like, hey, what do you want to play? And he's like, I don't know. And they're, you know, going through some Poison riffs and shit. Right.
Right.
And he's like, no, I want to play something old and cool. Right. So they settle on Van Halen.
Okay. Oh, right? Wow.
You really got me.
Yeah.
Right. Sing song. And then after that, they still want to play some Van Halen. And Chad Kroeger's like, I want to play drums.
Is he a drummer?
Oh, apparently he is.
Oh, okay.
Because he kicks Vinnie Paul off the goddamn kit. One of the greatest drummers of his era.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Gets on there and plays Hot for Teacher and just crushes it.
No shit.
And Vinnie Paul's like, that's the most drumminest fucking singer I've ever fucking met.
Right. The singer for
Godsmack?
That's the one.
Sully Erna.
Yeah, Sully. Hey, Sully, we're going to go down and get a pie. You want to go? What's up?
No. I'm going to play the drums.
Okay.
Nah, but that Steel Panther show was just wild and amazing and made me realize that even though Chad Kroeger is responsible for some of the worst music I've ever goddamn heard.
Right.
In my fucking life.
Right.
That he does have some modicum of talent.
Yeah, sure. And that... those Nickelback albums that he put out made him some money.
They made a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, they did really well. But
we'll make him as much money as he didn't make playing a song with Steel Panther called It Won't Suck Itself.
Right.
Me and Satchel were at the San Diego Zoo. God damn, Steel Panther's so fucking good.
Yeah, those guys are funny as shit. I love them.
Another concert that I didn't get to see, but I've seen on YouTube a couple times. Tiger Woods went to one of their shows.
Wow. They must be good.
And they didn't realize he was there.
Yeah.
Until after they sang Just Like Tiger Woods.
Oh, really?
And he stands up. He's the only person giving a standing ovation because he's laughing his ass off.
That's funny.
That song is so funny.
I love those guys. Yeah. No, I got to give them credit. They are the band that I would be if I could do what they do. You know, if I had their creativity.
They don't really have a whole lot of creativity.
No, they are, though. They're creative in the way they make fun of stuff and, oh, yeah, and stuff like that. I just wish I, you know. And you know who else I really like, but I think I'm in the minority on this? What's that guy with the initials like?
Brett Favre?
Nope. He had the, they used his music on a beer commercial for a long time. I remember what it was. Andrew W.K.
So what's wrong with Andrew W.K.?
I just think, when I bring it up, a lot of people go, he's an idiot. But I love his music. I think he's great. I don't know. I don't ask and I don't care.
He's like a motivational speaker and a singer.
Yeah. We saw him at the soda, what's that, Pop Shop?
Yeah.
Down on Sprague. He played in the warehouse there. Oh, yeah. He had a concert there. And that guy's got so much freaking energy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know where he is now.
He's a motivational speaker.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. And a singer. He's still singing.
He's still putting out albums?
Yeah.
But now he's got suspenders and he walks across the ballroom stage in hotels.
He does not and subscribe to bestsuspenders.com.
No. But does he? But he wears the suspenders and say, let me ask you guys a question.
No.
You're all here. Why? Because you want to better yourself. You want to do
it's
better at your
what
job,
it's about.
Your marriage, finances.
It's more like a TED Talk.
But you see where I was going with that.
Yeah.
You should have let me go with that and just had fun with
because
it.
Because it's disrespectful.
It's not.
I like Andrew W.K.
Right. But it was the industry of the self-motivated guys, the stereotypical one that I was going after.
Well, you
right?
remember the...
So,
not
him, not disrespecting him, but the industry itself.
Remember years ago when Taco Bell used him as for their promotion and they had a party truck that was driven by him around the country?
I don't
and
remember
lucky
that.
Lucky winners, he would drive up to your house and like host a party.
I could have been on the road. With I tacos. Don't know. Yeah.
Right. It wasn't.
There's like segments of my life where I was traveling
ago.
Where it was just like, I have no
it was
idea.
Like 11, 12 years ago.
Okay.
And my buddy won.
Oh, you're kidding
me. That was pretty cool. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. That was awesome.
So what did he do? He came to your house and...
Came to my buddy's house, yeah.
Yeah. And then served you tacos?
Yeah. And like hung out and like raged.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he play at all?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like okay. The whole thing, man.
Oh my God, dude. That would be awesome.
Mini concert in the backyard, tacos.
How fun was that?
Pretty goddamn fun.
I bet. So I didn't get to meet Andrew W.K., but I did see him perform, and I loved the show.
Yeah.
I was like...
He's very high energy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's super cool.
He makes you tired.
Is his hair short now?
I don't know.
He's a motivational speaker. Did he cut his hair?
I don't think so.
Oh.
But he makes you tired just watching him.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. But he was a cool... That was a cool show, too, man. It was great. I loved it.